Well, I'm going to call this meeting of the Little Calumet River Basin Development Commission to order on a virtual meeting again for Wednesday, May 20th, 2020. Y'all know how to use your mute button, so talk on the phone with that. And then let's stand up for the Pledge of Allegiance, please. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. It's just not the same, is it? All right, Jody, call roll, please. Jody, oh, she's connecting. All right, she's having problems, Dan. How about you do it?
Okay. Roll call. This would be fun. Ron Ware.
Present.
Robert Ochi.
Present.
Dave Castellanos.
Here.
LaVon Whitaker.
Present.
Derek Nimitz.
Present.
Tom Gazdecki.
Present.
Tom Wyszynski.
Present.
William Baker.
Present. All right, we got a quorum. Next up is the approval of minutes from April 15th. Y'all have a chance to take a look at those modifications, changes, motions. What say you?
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to approve the minutes from April 15th, 2020.
We have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
And a second. Mrs. Lambert's out. We're going to do these all on roll call, Dan, so sorry, but you're up.
You could do a motion, just one general motion, but that's okay. Roll call, Ron Ware.
Yes.
Jody did this to me on purpose, by the way. Robert Ochi.
Yes.
Dave Castellanos.
Yes.
LaVon Whitaker.
Yes.
Derek Nimitz. Derek, you good? I read his lips. He said he's good. Tom Gazdecki.
Yes.
Tom Wyszynski.
Yes.
And Chairman William Baker.
Yes. All right, moving right along. The chairman's report, make it short and sweet. We got a lot of rain over the last week. So Dan will get into some of the details as it related to that. But it was another perfect example that if you don't take care of a $275 million asset, you're going to have some challenges. I'm going to applaud Dan and all of the team members across the communities in the Little Cal to be able to step up on something like that, because that was not a pretty sight. As we continue to move forward, we're still working on deferred maintenance. It's going to be an ongoing challenge for a long time. Again, when you're dealing with Mother Nature, 10 gallons of water in a 5-gallon bucket is always going to be a challenge. However, we're far better prepared than we were in 2008. That being said, let's go on to the finance report, which is approval for claims for May 2020. And I've learned now over the years, before I continue to talk, we need a motion to approve those claims.
Chairman, I'll make a motion to approve the claims for May of 2020 for $398,530.35.
There's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
All right, Mr. Repay.
Okay, Jody is telling me that she's having technical difficulties, so just she'll be here shortly. As always, we'll go through, and I am getting old, we're going through some of the claims that are the larger ones, and then anything else, I would be happy to answer questions. Ellis Construction for $118,060.45, that is their last and final payment for the Harrison Street Bridge, so that is completely closed. Out. They are complete, and those that went around the Harrison Bridge area, as my dog started to bark, they know that the value of raising that bridge, that was going to be one of the first closures that we would have to do. So that's a good thing. We have our first mowing that was complete for $22,000. Our quarterly payment to USGS, which is the US Geological Survey for all the gauges that we have. Hassey Construction for the 94 Culver Crossing Cleaning for $31,500. Great Lakes Electrical Maintenance, which is Glem, for $69.90. They're a pump station maintenance, which, by the way, our pump stations made it 100% good pass on the inspections that we went through for Gary. And $70,000 for Patrick for Lake Station Levy. And $11,634.70 for engineering for Marshalltown. That is the area where the Marshalltown levee started to slough a little bit, which meant sort of shedding. We were asked to go in there by the Corps to fix it. We are in there fixing it. And Gary up is doing a great job doing what they're supposed to do. And we should be planting pretty soon here with the new levee that was constructed. It's only sections, not a brand new levee, but just the sections that were affected. So that's all I have, unless you have questions on certain things.
All right, bring it back to the board. Any questions for Mr. Repay as it pertains to paying the bills? Well, once, twice.
Just one question, Mr. Chair.
Milan, yes, sir.
Dan, the final payment to Ellis Construction, that was simply, did I hear you say that, that was the retention?
Yeah, it was 5% of the retention. If you remember, I think we did it in February where we gave them 5% of the retention back after the punch list items were determined. And then we left the remaining 5% just so that everything would close out properly. We'd have enough money to do so. And so that's what we left. So that was the 5% of the retention that we held back.
Okay, any other questions on the claims? All right, we have a motion and a second. Mrs. Lambert.
Tom Wyszynski. Tom Gazdecki.
Yes.
Derek Nimitz.
Yes.
Dave Castellanos.
Yes.
Ron Ware.
Yes.
Robert Ochi.
Yes.
LaVon Whitaker.
Yes.
William Baker.
Yes, paying the bills. Got to like it. All right, Mr. Repay, Project Tracker, Executive Director's Report. Have at it.
Let me get here to my report so I have it all. As I mentioned, we finished the inspections. We did that last week, 3 days. It took us to get from roughly Klein Avenue on the west side all the way to I-65. And the river. Full inspection, which included running the gates up and down, which was quite honestly great practice for this past week's affairs. Full inspection of the pump stations, as well as they walked the levee to make sure that there were no soft spots or issues dealing with possible collapses or anomalies. So that's a good thing. They should have a report to us sometime this summer. North Folk and Southern Closure, those are the two metal pieces that have to slide underneath the railroad tracks. That's a part of the closure that we need to do to be successful with the Army Corps and allow them to work forward to flood insurance relief like all the other communities. I have a phone call that is this Friday with North Folk and Southern to discuss how we're going to move forward. More than likely, they will be the ones inserting those closures. So we won't have to hire a group, but we will probably have to reimburse them for that expense. Spoke briefly about Marshalltown levee. You got that. The culverts underneath 94 are being cleaned out by Hasse, although this high water is not helping the cause. There'll be a delay, certainly, with that, since you don't want to put them, they're all underwater at this point. The pump stations, all in good shape, all working properly. Ironwood had one pump that we pulled just for to check. It wasn't running properly. We don't know if it was not enough water in the well or if it's just a bad pump. Ironwood doesn't run generally that often, but we want to make sure that it works. Our pump station cameras are up and officially running. So now we have the security that we need at the pump stations. We're going to change some of the angles on them, but for the most part, for instance, it helped me during this rain event where I didn't have to go out to Grant Street East to see to make sure that pump was running. I could visually see it running and as well as Grant West as well. So those were both big helps to make sure that those were running, because those are some of the major pumps that we've got in the system. The Hart Ditch, what we'll call is the overbuild, that's over by Wicker Park. All the design is ready. We have the permit for from the court. We are waiting for the DNR permit, which we won't wait very long before we have to continue. And that will be the part that we equal out and make the levee what it should have been in the initial phases. Hart Ditch bank stabilization. We have three of them, the Chestnut, the 45th and Camellia, and Twin Creek. All of them have started various forms and places in the completion. By far, 45th and Camellia just started. They're doing some utility relocation. And so that they're probably the ones lagging behind. But once again, with Hart Ditch as elevated it is now, we anticipate a little bit of a delay, but Lake County is running that project and we are reimbursing them for those costs. Lake Station levee, we spoke about sort of in the work study session, and we're now at the point of finalizing all the issues related to the pedestrian bridge as well as the rock riffle that will replace that aging low-level dam. We're working with NIPSCO on a conflicting power pole. And we also have had two residents call about wanting to be bought out from their existing houses. They didn't accept the offers or thoughts back in December. Now they are rethinking that. The casino detention pond review, Garcia did the review of it. That was done by DLZ. They agree with what the amount of water they're going to send to our detention pond, which they don't feel as though is going to cause a risk to our pump station at Burr North. So we're in the process of sending a letter to Gary Sanitary District as well as the casino stating that we have no objections to their plan as stated. We've got the resolutions that are on as well that are just confirming what we've done as far as are the applications that we approved in the April meeting. And I think that's going to cover most, if not everything. I'm just going to double check to make sure that we, didn't miss anything on Project Tracker, but I think I've gotten everything else. Unless you have questions. If you have questions about a specific one, I'd be happy to.
Dan, what about, talk about the event over the last week or so. What happened? Anything that we should be aware of?
No, I mean, it rained a lot, which is good. And it keeps us active. You know, as I mentioned, we had an inspection, and that inspection was over the Gary/Griffith levee system, which is the one that we're mainly in charge of. And we've done a lot of work over there, raising some of the closures that we knew that were going to cause us trouble. Harrison, 35th, and Chase, Clark Road as well. We had, during, I think, Sunday's event, was 4 or 5 inches, depending on what gauge you talk to and deal with. But over the course of the first half of May, we're already over probably 7 to 8 inches, which is a lot more than we've anticipated. Some good things that happened. Hey, our partnership with WLTH never left the air, always have been on the air. So that's a good thing, positive thing. We've only had to deal with two roads that are potentially had caused us issues in that segment. Colfax is one of them, which is a low-lying area. We had to put up through Lake County Highway some flooding on the street. And we're dealing with the issue of Georgia, both on the north and south side. On the south side, it's designed to flood over the top of it. On the north side, we had some backup that we're going to need to address in the coming days and to get that road open. But right now, everything worked the way it was supposed to. I can tell you Hobart, and I wish Hobart was on here, is ecstatic because they had no issues on Duck Creek, which is directly attributable to the railroad crossing that we had completed 2 years ago. They had no flooding in the Bricky Bowl, no flooding in that whole neighborhood. They've had some, they had, as all municipalities did, with some backup in the sewers in their, in the people's houses. I mean, heck, my sump pump couldn't catch up and I had some water. It was 2 inches of rain in most places in close to an hour. You had a, you know, Hammond had over two, Highland had over two. So between the 8 and the 9 o'clock hour, I can also tell you that the river rose, I believe, 4 feet in that period of time. So beyond that, we've just been checking to make sure everything's working. We've been updating the cities and communicating with the cities what we're doing, as well as the local radio stations, so that if there's any events, traffic, or imminent danger, we would be able to notify them.
Okay, any questions for Mr. Repay from the board?
Dan, I have a question about the casino detention review. Did that include just the current casino footprint or take into account for the possible parking garage and hotel in the future?
All of it, and because there, as I thought, the city of Easby has standards as far as how much water can be shed off of a property. So the standard is, and I think it's, I could probably look it up really quick, but there was a standard that Gary set, and Garcia reviewed the standard, and as far as how much water they can give to our system during an event, during a 100-year rain event, and Garcia felt very comfortable. That would be more than adequate. We could handle during a rain event.
All right, thank you.
Anything else for Mr. Repay? All right, moving right along. Next up is other issues, new business.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion to approve resolution 2020-01 and an interlocal agreement with the town of Winfield for the 109th Avenue Culvert Upgrade Project.
There's a motion, is there a second?
Second.
And there's a second, Mr. Repay.
This is a confirming resolution, an interlocal agreement for Crown Point, I'm sorry, Winfield. This is something they're going to have to approve as well, and it sets the pattern for us to reimburse them for costs. They're agreeing that this is the cost, is not to exceed this amount, and so when they submit their bills to us, we'll pay it up to that amount and nothing further.
Isn't this in conjunction, Dan, with some work that's happening on 109th already?
Oh yeah, if you want to be getting into the project, it's a 109th Street widening project. It's a third entire road project, but our portion of it is just to reimburse part of the cost for upgrading of the culvert. So that's what I mean, I'll go into that more or remind everyone.
Okay. Anything else from the board with regards to this? Is open for discussion? 1, 2, 3, there's a motion. A second, Mrs. Lambert.
Tom Wyszlinski.
Yes.
Tom Gostecki.
Yes.
Derek Nimitz.
Yes.
Dave Castellanos.
Yes.
Ron Ware.
Yes.
Robert Ochi.
Yes.
LaVon Whitaker.
Yes.
William Baker.
Yes. All right. Moving along.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion that we approve resolution 2020-02, an interlocal agreement with the city of Crown Point for the Sauerman Woods Drainage and Storage Improvement Project.
All right, we have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
And a second. Mr. Repay.
This project is an offshoot of an initial study that we helped fund in Sauerman Woods. This will help design the actual storage off of Sauerman Woods to help with detention and retention in that area of Crown Point.
Just for the public, Dan, let everybody know kind of where the issue is and where this is located in Crown Point.
Man, now you can give me a geography lesson. I think it's is it 213th Street? I think it's just south of 213th.
South of the athletic fields, correct?
Correct. Off of the brand new athletic fields, just off of actual Sowerman Woods, which is a woods. And this is going to be hopefully designed on property that is already owned by Crown Point, and they're going to use it as the storage area for this whole mainstream. And you know, we talk about retaining water in these areas, especially when it's going to be difficult to get it into ultimately your favorite, which is Beaver Dam Ditch. That's the main thing that comes out of Crown Point that ultimately leads to Deep River.
Yeah, they had a lot of problem in Crown Point this last event. All right, any questions for this, Mr. Repe? I'm sorry. Is there any questions for Mr. Repe about this? 1, 2, 3. Got a motion and a second. Mrs. Lambert.
Tom Ruslinski.
Yes.
Tom Gazdecki.
Yes.
Derek Nimitz.
Yes.
Dave Castellanos.
Yes.
Ron Ware.
Yes.
Robert Ochi.
Yes.
LaVon Whitaker.
Yes.
William Baker.
Yes. All right, moving right along.
Mr. Chairman, I have a motion to approve Resolution 2020-03, an interlocal agreement with the City of Lake Station for the Viking Village pump station replacement.
There's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
We have a second. Mr. Repe, pump station, huh?
Yeah, it's a pump station that was built within the floodway in Lake Station. It's an older pump station. It's going to be just to the south of Liverpool, south of our project area, under probably extreme situations like this. I didn't check on this one, but it's generally has a difficult time functioning because it's underwater. So it probably leads to some adverse conditions in some of these neighborhoods, and what they're proposing is to raise it up out of the floodway on property that they already own.
Okay, is that it?
All right,
I have a question. Who's going to take care of it after this is all done?
Lake Station.
Lake Station.
Correct.
Okay, so we'll want to confirm, Mr. Wicklund, that is somewhere in that interlocal agreement, if that's part of the agreement with us, with the city.
All right, we'll do it.
Any other questions, comments on this one? 1, 2, 3.
This is just the design, right? There's nothing to do with the construction costs.
That's correct.
All right, Mrs. Lambert.
Tom Ruslinski.
Yes.
Tom Gazdecki.
Yes.
Derek Nimitz.
Yes.
Dave Castellanos.
Yes.
Ron Ware.
Yes.
Robert Ochi.
Yes.
LaVon Whitaker.
Yes.
William Baker.
Yes. All right, fixing some stuff. Let's go.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion that we approve Patrick Engineering change order number 3 for the Deep River Levee project in the amount of not to exceed $95,740.
All right, we have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
And we have a second. Mr. Repe.
So this is a project that has taken on different paths, as we discussed, that initially it was supposed to be a levee along the west side of Wyoming, which led to some further investigation, which caused it to have to switch across the street a little bit. And then ultimately, the phase that changed into was the infrastructure of Lake Station just couldn't support such a project. Something that we certainly would wish that we would have been informed of when we've gone through this process almost 2 years now, but it is what it is at this point. This was always a three-part project, which was the dam, the levee, and the pedestrian bridge. Because of those changes and things that we've had to make a decision on based on the information, they've had to change as well. And so this change order reflects that change of positions and added things that they needed to do to accomplish it, to get it to the point of construction design or construction ready and to be bid out, which will be done hopefully sometime this summer.
Okay, back to the board. Any questions for Mr. Repay on this one?
Just so it's we're factually correct, there was a math error. I don't know if you caught it in one of my previous emails. It is not 95, it's 106. It was there was a math error. Someone didn't carry the one. So it's just so that for the record, it's 106, but the facts still remain of what we just talked about or what I just said.
I do have a question for Dan. Can you hear me, Dan?
I can hear you.
Okay, I'm just curious. You know, I'm just wondering that of all this money that we're giving Patrick Engineering, and I'm looking through their information, I don't see anything regards to minority participation on it. If you know for a fact, have they done anything to reach out to minority contractors in order to bid on these particular projects?
Yeah, we're not at the award state right at this point. I mean, they're just designing it. So Patrick Engineering is Patrick Engineering, and Kerry Konecki is the lead engineer that we deal with. So when we have the construction plans ready, we have stated that even because the rock riffle is a specialty, we still are going to give it to all the commissioners. We've also set up arrangements just to talk about this term in general. We've also set up arrangements with the Gary Sanitary District who has a or holds a list of contractors that are certified contractors that we plan on giving them to, and then they send that out to their disbursement list. I don't, you know, we're going to give it out to everyone because, as I've always said, the more people that can bid on this, the better price we're going to get. So,
well, I'm just wondering that when we send out these particular interlocking agreements and information, that we should always put a clause in there regarding minority participation, that they should.
In the construction side, we do.
Design. I'm talking about even design, not construction, design too. Any professional services.
I mean, that's something you guys can take up. But right now, all I have from you guys with a resolution is for construction for the, I believe, the 10%. That's what I have. So yeah. I don't know how.
And the motion in the second is for a change order on an existing agreement. So duly noted with regards to the minority participation. Anybody else with questions on this one?
Mr. Wicklund, do I need to revise the motion and make the authorization amount for this agreement, or excuse me, for this change order three, be $106,570?
Yes. The old amount was $95,740, correct?
Correct.
Yeah.
So I'd like to amend the motion to reflect the correct amount of $106,570 for change order three.
Second. So the amendment has a second. Mr. Wicklund, is there anything else that Robert Rules tells us we have to do with regard to that?
I think we're fine on that Patrick Engineering change order.
Okay. Any other discussion comments with regards to this change order? One. Two, three, be there, none. Mrs. Lambert.
Tom Wyszlinski.
Yes.
Tom Gazdecki.
Yes.
Derek Nimitz.
Yes.
Dave Castellanos.
Yes.
Ron Ware.
Yes.
Robert Ochi.
Yes.
LaVon Whitaker.
Yes.
William Baker.
Yes. Okay, gentlemen.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion to approve an agreement with Caraba Group Consulting Engineers for services related to updating our watershed master plan in an amount not to exceed $46,095.65.
All right, there's a motion for Siorba Group. Is there a second?
Second.
We have a second. Mr. Repay.
We've gone through this process to develop a master plan. I believe it was 2014. It has not been revised in the 6 years since that time. We've done several projects with partnerships with these communities, and they've done some on their own. So in something that not only this board has wanted, but also our advisory board has wanted, is to go through and update. And there's no better example is the latest rainstorm that will maybe change the focus of some communities on what they may have seen as important and not. So the Siorba Group has tried to produce, or we, not tried, but they've actively been a part of trying to do some things with us. This is a great opportunity for them to do so. And the fact that they have no internal relationship with any community is even a better plus. So we know that there will be beyond reproach as far as their independency from rating some of these projects and updating them. So that those are all good things, and they're a quality firm. So I would ask that you approve this.
All right, back to the board. Any questions on this one or discussion?
Mr. Chair, got a question. Mr. Repay, was Siorba the group that did the master plan in 2013?
I didn't catch all of it, and someone else did. I didn't hear everything.
He asked if Siorba Group did the original plan in 2013.
No, that group, there was a group between DLZ and SEH did the original plan. Sorry.
So, I mean, to build on Levon's question, Dan, is the game plan to utilize that or to go and do the interviews with the individual municipalities with no regard to what happened in the past?
No, we're going to use that as our template and go forward with it and see if they want to change anything and see if something has done. And then they will provide a, I don't know, it's not an index, but an appendix to what our 2000 original plan was.
And it basically is going into each community and interviewing the powers that be as it pertains to what their stormwater concerns are as far as a priority list?
Correct. Including us.
Really?
Well, we had input in the first one.
That was 100 years ago. Okay. Any other questions for Mr. Repay on this one? One, two, three. Mrs. Lambert.
Tom Oshlinski.
Yes.
Tom Gazdecki. Yes. Derek Nimitz.
Yes.
Dave Castellanos.
Yes.
Ron Ware.
Yes.
Robert Ochi.
Yes.
Levon Whitaker.
Yes.
William Baker.
Yes. All right, that one will be interesting. Also interesting, next up.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion to approve an agreement with Christopher Burke Engineering for the final design of the Griffith Levee Rehabilitation and Interior Drainage Improvement Project in the amount not to exceed $385,000.
There's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Motion and a second. Mr. Repay.
We need to finish this levee. This levee was constructed by a private developer back in the 80s.
At what location?
I'm sorry, yeah, Griffith, just south of the old Griffith Golf Course or Colonial Golf Course, depending on how old and long you were. There used to be a miniature golf and driving range over there. So that levee was built to protect the industrial development. Bulkmatic is probably the more visible. There's also some storage facilities and some other industrial areas there. Well, the Corps has come by and has told us that we need to fix that in order for Griffith and Gary both to get into the flood insurance relief program. We mentioned that we talked about the closure at Norfolk and Southern. This is the other portion of the deficiencies that need to be addressed. And so in order for us to do that, to help Gary and Griffith achieve what Highland, Munster, and Hammond have done, this is needs to be done on the fixing of the levy to their standards. Also, as a part of this, is a flowage easement that is north of here that Griffith owns that is on the golf course. So over years and times, and the fact that the Corps has given us that sort of checklist on things that we need to do to fix and help them receive flood insurance relief, this came up. And so through discussions with the city of, or the town of Griffith, we said that this is something that we can do jointly and help each other's cause out, both for us so that we have a levy that will be certifiable, and it will complete one of the last portions of this system, and for them to make a site that's south of them even more developable and attractive. So we have this proposal here for Christopher Burke, who was the choice of the town of Griffith, and this is what we we're going forward with at this point.
Okay, Dan, I have a question. You mentioned the city of Gary getting flood relief for this project. How do those tie in together? I understand water flows downhill, but what part of Gary is going to be impacted by that?
Well, and our famous saying is that the water doesn't know any geographical boundaries. So right. because it's tied in, because of where it's at, it will help the part of Gary that's basically from Clark to Ridge, and then from Clark to wherever the unincorporated line is, Arbogast or wherever, is where that all ties in. Arbogast is technically Griffith, but Colfax area. That whole area then would be considered, that is considered the Gary South levee, where it ties into high ground off of Clark Avenue. So that is the segment. So they fuse together, sort of like Munster and Hammond fuse together, and sometimes Highland and Hammond work together jointly.
I understand. And you also mentioned the flowage easement required by the Corps. Has that always been the same easement? I mean, long in the tooth that I am, I remember that was always something that was a question. Now, have they locked in and provided us with documentation that this is it and this is exactly what they need?
Well, it started out much larger. It started out a good portion of the actual golf course was their flowage easement. But, and C of Osh, I see, is on the line for Christopher Burke. He was able to show the Army Corps that they didn't need that large of a footprint for the flowage easement. And they actually shrunk the footprint to be more towards the northern part of that parcel, closer to the existing pump station that Griffith has up there, their sanitary line. And it just so I'll complete full circle, where the rookery is in Highland, water is designed to flow in there as a part of the system once it hits 100-year flood elevation. And at some point, once it goes over there, it will flow underneath a culvert, underneath Klein Avenue, and fill in the area at the Griffith Golf Course, which is the flowage easement that we, what we need legally. It does it right now, but to be legal, we need to have that documentation so that we can do it properly.
Well, you know where I stand with regards to the course. So I'm just asking the question that if we go through all of this and get that easement put together, are they going to accept it or are they going to move the goal line again?
It's been accepted by the head hydraulic department or the hydraulic part of Joel Schmidt in the Corps' Chicago district. And it also has been signed off by the real estate department, not only in Chicago, but in Cincinnati.
Oh, and Detroit Vic, right?
You know what? The funny is he's coming out of retirement, believe it or not. I know I can't make that up, but he's coming back. I was told that. I was really excited.
Sorry. That's it. Thank you for me. Anybody else?
Yeah, Mr. Chair.
So yes, sir.
Explain the phases of the project listed here in the proposal.
Yeah.
Rehab, and the second one is the internal drainage.
So the two components of it is the levy itself, which has some. I don't think it's high enough. Number one, number two, it's got some utilities that are running through it that need to be done in the core standard and not just with openings, which provide an opportunity for water to make it from one side to the other without any secondary closure. That's just the general thing. We will have to tie it a little bit further back to the west into Klein Avenue, similar to how Highland has theirs tied in on that side of Klein Avenue. So that's the levee component. There's an internal drainage component as well with that, and that is going to deal with the situation with making sure that water doesn't get trapped on the land side and can make it into the river side. We're not sure exactly how much that is needed as far as internal drainage, but that's something that we're going to be discussing with the town of Griffith as we move forward as to what is needed and what is something that they would like as a bonus for that development. So we would be only really looking to build what we need to have, and then we would let Griffith build whatever they wanted to build in addition to.
The levy rehab requirement for the $125,000 is the core part of what we...
Hey, LeVon, can you get closer? Can you break it up?
Okay, maybe this is a little bit better. I have not heard it. Let's see if this is a little bit better. The phase part of the levy rehab is $125,000, and the second part is $270,000, which is the interior drainage improvement. $125,000 we're going to look for, in addition to the $100,000 the easement we know that we would have to be looking for. We're trying to determine how much impact that we're going to actually have as it relates to the interior, interior drainage and improvement. My concern was that I just wanted to make sure that we're careful in terms of how we set precedence. We typically have not a city associated with a fixed amount, not necessarily a variable amount, something that still needs to be negotiated. So that's my concern. We actually do something based on more of a fixed amount. The other part is, if we're going to do a project versus a town or municipality actually submitting an application, which is not necessarily the case here, an application that is being submitted. However, since it's not an application being submitted, rather than commissioning Burke, as we probably should, so rather than a town or municipality commissioning and the appraisal and everything that's associated with it, I would feel more comfortable with us as a commission, since it's not an application, doing that legwork up front so that we can have a more thorough understanding, because I'm not really seeing the appraisal side of it, if we would, as well as the breakdown from Christopher Burke, but he has not initiated from our side. So those would be things that would be preferable.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
From what I, and I can hardly wait to meet in person. I can just tell you that first of all. From what I understand is, I think if I understand the questions were that we would like to have control over how this is going to go down. And that's why the agreement is going to be between the commission and Christopher Burke. So the town isn't going to necessarily dictate exactly what is happening. So we will have control over the dollars on that aspect. Two, when we talked about it earlier, is that I think this will give, we're going to have some discussions with the town as far as going forward, what to expect and how it relates to the paying for the easement or not paying for the easement. So I understand, we're going to have to fix the levee. We also need to do some internal drainage issues and some fixes there to address it along with in partnership with the levee. So I don't think we lose control. And knowing the chairman that has been here for 10 years, he will, I'm assuming, would really drive the issue home with the town, explaining to them what we should and will not be paying for on that front. If I understood the question was a little bit choppy, and I apologize, I didn't hear everything. I
didn't hear very much of that either, but I got the gist of it. But Dan, I mean, how much is in your understanding of this for this internal drainage is applicable to the actual levee work itself? I'm sure there's some kind of a overlay. How much of it, though, in your opinion?
You know what? I have an expert here on the line that probably could answer it. And if you allow Siavash to answer it, I think he would be better. He's got the degrees in it. I don't. Can we do that?
Sure.
Good evening.
Siavash, you got an answer?
Yes. Well, I don't know if I have an answer, but it's hard to pinpoint exactly what it is. We know that, as you mentioned, parts of the lines that go through the levee need to be replaced in the streets as well. The levee purpose is to protect those industries or those buildings there. Without the interior drainage, the road that is the river road, which gets access to these companies basically, is flooded. So the interior drainage, that lift station, is necessary to allow transportation.
And by the way, just for the record, that's Siavash Beek. He's from Christopher Burke Engineering. We've worked with him on several occasions, and he's famously now has a key to the city of Hammond. So, I mean, I don't even have a key to the city of Hammond.
Yes, I do. And
well, open it up, Siavash.
yes, we need, I appreciate the. But certainly, the answer to the question, Bill, is that it is a. The components that necessary for the levee itself, is the pump station. Now, what size the pump station is, that's a question. I think what Dan was referring to. I believe that the pipelines or interior drainage improvements in terms of the pipelines or pipes is absolutely necessary to get the water to the other side of the levee. The pump station, to some capacity, is needed to get the river road accessible. Now, we did some analysis during the preliminary engineering report, which we did for Town of Griffith, and they paid for it, that portion. We did analysis to see what pumps station sizes would result in what improvement in the interior drainage. And I think based on those, we have a preliminary number in the head, but as Dan pointed out, once we get into the design and we can better pinpoint those things, we will know at what point, what is the proportion with benefits directly the levy versus the proportion that benefits the town. And I think that's what it is, I think Dan referring to getting the agreements at during the construction. So we're gonna go over the design right now so that we have a perfect good idea of the cost of what the actually components of that project is and who does it benefit. And then decision on the construction side, that's what I think for the drainage improvement, I believe Dan has talked about that should be something we need to do the agreement to see what apportions.
Well, we froze up, huh?
So Siavash, I have a question. So assuming there's not a huge development to the south of River Road, I mean, how much of the internal drainage that you guys look at would you associate just to what you would do for the levee and to get that approved by the Corps just for the River Road, and how much of it is interpreted being needed for the development per se?
Not sure, but maybe at least half and half, maybe 60% needed for the levee and the rest maybe. There are a bunch of homes that south of that industrial park that also drain to the levee, so that makes it possible for the drainage of those things. So, it's kind of a gray area of what the purpose of the levee and the drainage is. All the levees, by the way, in Highland, in Munster, in Gary, all have interior drainage components like a pump stations and things that is similar. It's not all because of the levee that's trapped, but also to the pump stations also probably help the neighborhoods as well.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I have a question.
Okay.
How is the existing area draining now for interior stormwater?
Right now there are some small pump station and frankly it doesn't drain well, and so you know we have seen huge floods on that river road right now. Every time it floods, we have 2, 3, 4 times at least has happened, and so it's pretty bad. The drainage is not very good. It there's some gravity pipes to go from south to north, but they're not efficient at all.
Siavash, do you know what the capacity of the existing pumps are?
The capacity of existing, I'm not sure exactly. There's one pump which is near near the levee, but I'm not sure what the capacity is. What we're talking about for the design is actually a new lift station. It's not a repair or there's a new lift station at the corner along the river road. But I do not know how much is the existing capacity.
So, Bosh, there are going to be properties that are going to come out of the flood zone after this is all said and done?
Yes, some properties would come out of the flood zone, and the degree of it and how much it is coming out would have to do with the pump station size. But there are some properties come out of that one. As Dan also pointed out, this makes it possible also for the, since it's connected to Burr Street, to have the entire levee basically certified in that one. But there are some properties that come out of the floodplain.
And there's properties over there that will come out as well because of all this?
Yes.
We have an idea how many properties to the east or no?
I'm not sure we have a map that shows that, but I don't have it in front of me. But Dan, do you have an idea?
I don't know, but I remember seeing the map that said depending on how the size of the pumps, and I was kept on using an example of one pump or three pumps, but with the size of the pump, it depends on how many come out. That's before we go through the process of certification of the levee and going through the FEMA side. Yes. So there's the component that if you put more pumps in, you get people out, and then the whole system, which is the Burr Street and the River Road levee combined, can take out the entire area completely.
And in the Burr Street area, there are several properties that are right now in the floodplain. Now, whether or not they are occupied, it's that's another question. But in some of the open areas, but there are several parcels there.
Okay, anybody else discussion on this one? 2, 3, Mrs. Lambert.
Tom Oshlinski.
Yes.
Tom Gazdecki.
Yes.
Derek Nimitz.
Yes.
Dave Castellanos.
Yes.
Ron Ware.
Yes.
Robert Oche.
Yes.
LaVon Whitaker.
I abstain.
William Baker.
Yes. All right, moving right along. Next up is to the board from the floor, my favorite part. If you'd like to help us with some of this stuff, by all means, Mrs. Lambert's going to be the gatekeeper, and let's do it.
All right, if anyone has anything to say, just kind of, I'm going to unmute Lori right now.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you, Lori. Lori Zolno, Forest Avenue. I just want to thank you again for continuing to hold these meetings through Zoom rather than not hold meetings at all. And I also want to say that I was very pleased with the way the river performed over this last flood or rain event, I should say. It seems like the maintenance that's being done is proving itself. So thank you again.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
All right. Let's see. Ray, go ahead.
Hey guys, good to see everybody. Greetings from Maryland.
Ray, nice to see you, man.
Yeah, I'm glad you're all doing well. We're going to get your rain here on Friday and Saturday. So I just want to give you a shout out that you guys came through this most recent event I saw without any headlines. So you're all doing a great job, and it's good to see everybody again.
Great. Well, just so some background, Ray sat on the commission for a number of years before he got promoted and took the high-paying job out east. So nice to see you again. You should come visit us once
in a
while.
You say high-paying or high-tax?
Talking about the same issues.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Water flows downhill. That's great. Well, thanks for joining, Ray.
All right, my pleasure. Good to see everybody.
You too, Ray.
Get a haircut, Tom.
Took on Friday, Ray.
Anybody else?
I don't see anyone else that has anything to say.
Okay. Moving right along, next date of the meeting, I don't have my little calendar for Mrs. Lambert, but it'll be the third Wednesday in June.
June 17th.
Hopefully we're not going to be doing it virtually. Hopefully we'll be getting back together again, but you know, that's outside of our control. Go down the line. Anybody like to speak? Mr. Ware?
No, all good at this time.
Mr. Ochi.
Thanks. Just everyone stay safe and take care.
Mr. Nibbitz. Anything to say? Eric? Is he sleeping with his eyes open? All right, Mr. Whitaker.
Nothing to add.
Mr. Whitaker.
Yes, Mr. Chair. Again, a great job to Jody for setting everything up and keeping us technically engaged and involved here. As well as to Dan and the rest of the commissioners for making sure we're keeping an eye on what's going on in the community and actually having fairly open mind to keeping an eye on the water area. Make sure we don't have much of a fanfare and backlash. Again, everyone stay safe and hope that your families are doing well during this time.
Thank you. Mr. Castellano.
Yes, I'd like to say that we had a guest on WLTH radio a couple weeks ago, Paul Bruska, hydrologist from Ohio and Kentucky. He gave a great and flowing report regarding the spring that we have on Chase Street. And he also worked at the spring down in southern Indiana, Carmel. And he felt that that would be a great place and great attitude for the people. I told him that we may have in the works a good gazebo because there's a lot of people coming over from East Chicago, Illinois that I've seen coming over with barrels and getting water from the spring. So I'm hoping that maybe one day that we can put in a gazebo there so people, senior citizens and people from around the total community can come there and get the water and enjoy it. Another note, just to let you know, I spoke to the WLTH president, Mr. Williams, and he's very appreciative for the help that the commission has given him. Just to let you know that the heavy rains, it did not affect the WLTH transmission, but an act of God about Saturday, lightning hit the transformer, blew it out for about 6 hours. They had to repair and back on air. But that's it in a nutshell, and hoping that everybody be safe. Thank you.
Mr. Wyszlinski.
Reiterate to Dan and the crew getting everything done, and the system was working as best as can when we get that much rain in a short period of time. Other than a few problems here and there with just standing water, everything flowed pretty well.
Mr. Gazdecki.
No, just accolades to, I guess, everybody for making sure we do our due diligence with keeping this whole project on track. And I think the system functioned better than I've ever seen it function, given the amount of water we had. So I'm thankful for that. And I'm glad that nobody suffered any type of catastrophic impacts
like we've suffered previously.
Thank you. Mr. Wicklund? That's it.
Nothing to add.
Mrs. Lambert?
I'm good.
All right, everybody. Thank you for participating and helping us make sure we don't see what happened in 2008 ever again during our lifetimes. We'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
And a second? All those in favor say aye. Aye.
Aye.
See you later. Thank you.